Miles used that word all the time, motherfucker. He used it all the time. I'll tell you a story. Go ahead. When this book came out in German, the German translator called me on the phone from Germany and asked me, how do you translate into German motherfucker? You understand? I said, I don't know. You the translator. I mean, well, you asked me how to translate it in the German part. You know, but that was one of his favorite words. Anyway, we go forward to 1985. And my friend, I was writing, by this time I was writing for the Village Voice, a lot of magazines and reading, writing a lot. So my friend went from the Village Voice, an editor, to Spin Magazine. He was the executive editor. What are you laughing at? He goes, Rudy Langlais, he goes to Spin Magazine. And Rudy Langlais says, who do you want to write about? So the first person I wanted to write about was Miles Davis. He was the first person I wanted to write about. And so he arranged for me to write about Miles Davis. He arranged for it. So I go down and have an interview, 1985, July, it was August, July. And Miles was in New York. When I walk into his apartment, he looked at me hard. We'd had some more incidents before that, but I don't have to tell you that. And so he looks at me really hard, and I sit down, and he says, he looks at my hair, which was longer then, and he grabs my hair like, how you get your hair like that? So I take my hand by this time, and I hit his hand, bang, you know? And he snatched his hand away. He said, are you crazy? I said, no. I said, Quincy's space, Miles's space. Quincy's space, Miles's space. Just because I'm over here to interview you does not give you the right to invade my space. That's your space, my space. And he liked that. Because Miles Davis, I found out later, if you stood up to him, He would be okay. But if you let him run over you, he would run over you. He would definitely run over you. So he said, yeah, like, oh, that's interesting. And so then he asked me, where are you from? I said, St. Louis. He said, now I know you crazy. Now I know you crazy. I said, no, but I'm not. I said, but you know, the first band you played, remember, I told you, I said the first band you played in, Miles, was my cousin's band. Eddie Randall's band. That was the first band you played in. And he kind of looked like that. And I said, and I know this about you. And I know this about you. And I know that, you know. And he kind of like, and I was supposed to spend 1 hour and a half with him that day in the interview. 1 hour and a half. I ended up spending 10 hours. 10. He cooked food. He showed movies. He played me his records that were not released yet. And after about 6-7 hours, I called my wife, Margaret. I said, Margaret, I'm still over here at Miles Davis's. She said, really? I said, yeah. She said, oh, I'd like to speak to Miles. I'd like to talk to him. So I said, okay. I said, Miles, my wife wants to speak to you. So he takes the phone, and she says, oh, Mr. Davis, how are you? I love your music. I love your music. And he says, call me Miles. Call me Miles. And so I knew something was happening. You know, I didn't know what it was, you know, but it was something. And then he asked me later about, at the 10-hour mark, he said he had to go downtown. Did I have a car? I said, yeah, I have a car. He said, you give me a lift. I said, yeah, I'll give you a lift. He was, that time, living at 79th and 5th Avenue. He and Cecily Tyson were married. So I said, yeah, I'll give you a lift. So he goes out, and at the time, now, you know, Miles had Ferraris. He had Ferrari Testarossas. I had a 1983 Saab. 1983 Saab, which was a nice car, you know. I had a 1983 Saab, this 1985. We go outside, he looks at my car, and he says, what kind of piece of shit is this? I said, it's the piece of shit that's going to take you downtown if you shut your mouth. And he kind of looked at me like taken aback. And he said, you're like, he's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just crazy. So he gets in the car, I drive him downtown. And we get down to where he was going. He gave me his telephone number. And he says, this is my private number. If you want something else, call me on the telephone. And I said, okay, I will. And 2 days later, I needed something else. I called him. And I went over to his house again. And I spent 10 more hours with him. You know, the same kind of stuff. You know, he's playing music, cooking food. You know, he's talking to me. You know, he's talking about everything. But at that point, I knew that we had bonded. You know what I'm saying? You know, I knew we had bonded. I didn't know what it meant. You know, I didn't know what it meant. But I knew that he liked me, and I knew that I liked him. You know what I mean? We had bonded. It was strange, you know what I mean? Because everybody was saying that, you know, Miles does not like a lot of people. And so, but he did, he liked me, and I liked him. That was strange, you know? I mean, we liked each other, and that was it. And, you know, in January, when the piece came out, it was supposed to be a one-part piece. It came out in spin. It was a two-part piece, November, December. It was in that magazine, Spin. And in January, because he was away, and he called me on the phone in January, and I never forget it. I picked up the phone. Phone rang. I pick it up, middle of the day. Hey, Quincy. I said, yeah. Yeah, man, this shit's good. That's just the best shit ever written on me. Yeah, I like it. I said, oh, Miles, what's happening? Yeah. And he hung the phone up. He didn't know how to say goodbye. Miles didn't know how to say, well, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you in a little while. He just hung the phone up, and that's what he did.